ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Before I begin the couple of points that we have from our beloved Imam al-Ridha روحي فدا on this occasion of the birth of the Imam, I would like to take this time to have us all make dua, which is what we can do. Perhaps if we were somewhere else, we would be able to do more, but where we are situated, what we can do is dua. For this sheikh who's been oppressed, Sheikh Zakzaki, who has brought many people to understand the value of the Ahlul Bayt, believe in the Ahlul Bayt, in ways that many of those who've been traditionally lovers of the Ahlul Bayt have not been following the Ahlul Bayt. The movement in Nigeria is a significant movement, and all agree, and it is pretty evident that the person who's been constantly and continuously behind this movement, leading it, helping more and more people come together under the banner of the Ahlul Bayt, has been Sheikh Zakzaki. And you've all been following the news. He's been mistreated for a number of years. More seriously, he lost more than one of his children to the atrocities of the regime there. And now he's been in difficult health conditions. There are protests in different parts of the world. I don't believe we have any here. Inshallah, it won't require too much pushing. My understanding is, based on the circumstances, and I read something, negotiations have started. But what we can do is to think about this, be aware of it, understand who's who and what our responsibilities are. Supporting with our hearts and with our du'as is the first step in any type of movement that we are responsible to be part of, to be aware of it and to support it. If there's anything more that is required, then we will do that. At this point, for this particular instance, we don't have any other responsibilities here. So we will, with our hearts, support it and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless the people, bless Sheikh Zakzaki with a long life, and inshallah he will have access. So without any further ado, let's do a Surah Hamd al-Shafa, preceded by a Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Recite another salawat, please. اللهم صل على محمد. إن شاء الله we get the blessing to visit the beautiful shrine of Imam al-Ridha. Let's recite the third one louder. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The shrines of the Ahlul Bayt are all great, and there's always a great feeling whoever has visited whichever of the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt. I think we all agree. And those who have not had that blessing, inshallah, Allah bless them. Imam al-Ridha is very special. You know, different people have special experiences in different shrines. Some people have a very special experience in Najaf, others have it in Karbala, others in Kadhimain in Samarra or in Medina, and some in Mashhad. Of course, I really can't say where I have more of a special experience, because they're all very, very special, and each of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and given us the tawfiq to visit, and we ask Him to give us more tawfiq to visit. I want to share with you two sayings, two teachings from Imam al-Ridha salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. One is a little more brief and a little more advanced on a personal note, meaning individuals who are aspiring to become greater servants of Allah, they're trying to get closer to Allah, they're trying to become better, and they're looking for what can advance them. The first one is going to be beneficial, and of course, inshallah, all of us are wanting that. And none of us should, as the teaching will tell us, none of us should think that we are there. But we should have the want and desire, inshallah. One of the ashab of Imam al-Ridha had an interesting experience with him. This particular companion is someone who is a narrator of hadith. He has spent time with the Imams, Imam al-Kadhim, and then Imam al-Ridha. He knows both Imams. He has spent time with them. He has been the student of the students of previous Imams as well. So both in terms of knowledge and in terms of spiritual advancement and being in the presence of ulama and beyond all the Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim ajma'in, he's been one of those who's been around. He's not an individual who just came across traveling from some city and coming, and once they visited this imam and he has an experience and then the imam tells him something or what have you. He's someone who's been present, been there, spent time with the imams, heard a lot from the imams, tries to become better. In this particular experience, this brother, this man, this scholar, this student of the Ahlul Bayt, this companion of the Ahlul Bayt, is visiting Imam al-Ridha at his house. Evening time approaches. He realizes that he's taken a lot of time from Imam al-Ridha. Obviously, he suggests that, you know, it's getting late, and if you permit, I will leave with your permission. I would like to leave. And thank you for your time, and I don't want to take any more of your time. Obviously, he would love to stay longer, but, you know, evening is approaching and nighttime is approaching. He wants to respect the Imam, he wants to leave. Imam al-Ridha, just put yourself in that situation and see how you feel. Imam al-Ridha tells him, stay the night. Stay over. Obviously, he gets very happy. This is a very special treatment. People come during the day and they leave. For someone to be able to stay and spend the night over the imam's house is a very personal experience. Yeah. And not upon the request of the person, upon the request of Imam al-Ridha. Right? So you feel very special. And that's where the problem lies. This is the whole experience is about this. Imam al-Ridha tells him to stay. And then he leaves. The imam leaves the room that this man was in. Goes to another room to, I guess, I don't know, bring some pillows or whatever so he can sleep. When the imam leaves, listen, please pay close attention. This man is so happy. When you're happy, what do? If it's a spiritual type of happiness and appreciation of a gift from Allah, he goes into sujood, prostration. That's the position he's in. And he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great blessing. Right? So what do you think Imam al-Ridha would do to this person in that position? What's that? You've heard the story. Alhamdulillah, some have heard it. Now what would you think, those who haven't heard it? The last thing you would think is what the brother said. The Imam kicked him. said, "Hey, you know, hey, don't think you're anyone. Don't think that you hold any value over your brethren, over others. You're special because you were treated in this way."
We say salawat, please.
I don't know how much I can explain this. I'll try my best to, with my limited understanding and limited experiences. There must be deeper meanings to this I'm not capable of presenting. One of the mistakes we tend to make as average people, people who have not ascended, is that when something good happens to us, spiritual or otherwise, as believers, those who don't believe in God, don't see blessings coming from God, that's a different story. For those who believe that blessings come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when God blesses them with something special, we tend to think we are special and we deserve something special from Allah. That's the way we interpret that. That's the way we see that. That's the way we understand it. And that's what this man was about to perhaps understand, or was already feeling. The imam is trying to help him ascend. He kicks him to make him feel bad and low. You're not special. You don't have anything special in you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous and He gives. Don't get caught up with a wrong understanding of the situation, saying, "Well, others didn't get that treatment. I got that treatment. That means there's something in this person." What? What is there? What is there that is mine? That's the core of the issue. That is the main problem. I, considering myself something, I have something that is special. If there's anything there that is deserving of something special, a special blessing, that which is there is not mine either. It is entirely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. The nafs wants to think and believe that it's something, we are something. What Imam Ridha is trying to get this person to get to ascend, is to realize we are nothing to have anything special, to deserve anything special, to be given anything special. It is all 100% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. And zero of it because of me. If for a second, just for a second, do we have anyone that is above the Prophet and all the creations that God has created? The greatest creation is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So he's definitely been given loads of things that no one else has been given. If for a second he thought he is special, this is from him, all of that would have been taken away from him. You've heard the story of Prophet Musa, I think I've shared it before, you must have heard it from others as well, that when he was going to the mountain once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and told him, "Next time you come, I want you to bring someone that is less than you." Long story, I don't want to do too much, you've heard it. Next time he wants to come, he's looking, searching, looks at people, and he's like, "You know, how do I know I'm better than them?" And on the way there, there's a rotting corpse of a dog. He thinks for a second to take that, and then he thinks otherwise. He leaves it, and he goes to the mountain, and God tells him, "What happened? You didn't bring anyone." He said, "I couldn't find anyone." God tells him, "If you would have brought, not people, the rotting corpse of a dog, you would have been relieved of all of your responsibility. All of it would have been taken. If you think you're special, People who think they themselves are special, they are never going to be given those extra gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person realizes they are nothing, literally, all right, not playing around with words, say, I'm nothing. You know, a lot of times I hear myself saying that perhaps. You know, like, I'm nothing, but what I mean is that, yeah, I'm boasting by saying I'm nothing. Trying to say I'm humble, I'm nothing. Yeah, right, you're nothing. If I believe I'm nothing, I wouldn't behave the way I do. Okay? If we get to a point where we actually understand that, then that's when special gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come and we're able to take them, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. The second teaching is going to take a little more time. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us patience and we're able to focus and understand and feel it's very important and very relevant to all of us. It's something that is related to the social political movement that the Ahlul Bayt led. They were leaders not on simply a spiritual scale. They were leaders that led mankind on all levels, including social political. In fact, the social political part is what brings everything else pretty much together. The objective of it is getting society to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the way that that happens, one of the most important requirements is to get rid of taghut and establish the government of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a divine government on earth, which the Prophet did, previous prophets did. The Imams were striving and they were pushing their followers. Imam al-Ridha led the movement in a very crucial time. There are many elements that need to be understood to have a more complete understanding of the circumstances that the Imam was in prior to the 2 years of his presence in Marw, as he was taken there by force after the Shahada of Imam al-Kadhim, and also post that period. There were different conditions that the Imam went through. However, there is something that we find in the works of not just Imam al-Ridha, but it seems it's a little more serious in the works of Imam al-Ridha. And that is focusing on reminders and explaining what has to do with the hereafter, with the akhirah. Belief in ma'ad, belief in resurrection, belief in the afterlife, belief in paradise, belief in hell. That belief, the element of faith, is in that particular element of faith. We have Tawheed, Idala, other principles that we believe in, Nubuwwah, Imama, and so on. The element of faith in the hereafter, in the life after death, there being something, and then how it is. Certain principles regarding that are more important than others. The descriptions of the fruits and trying to figure out, are these actually material fruits or are they not? Are they similar to the bananas that we're dealing with and tasting here? Or do they look different other colors, other textures, and so on? That's a really minor issue. It says that they are similar. If somebody's really interested in that, you can really follow the verses and see what's there. But those are not the main elements and what's very important. There are certain elements in that part of our belief that are very important for people that want to be part of the movement of the Ahlul Bayt at that time and today. And if it's not stressed on, if we don't remember them, if we don't remind ourselves of that, and we're not strong in believing in that, in the ups and downs of that movement, we will fail to be able to continue. And I'll share some examples. When you look at the movement of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, it's one movement. You look at the ups and downs of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. There was a serious drop, one can call it, after the demise of the Prophet. These were people that went through a lot of hardship. They went through a lot of difficulties. But the movement's not over with the life of the Prophet. The movement continues. What happened after the life, the demise of the Prophet? A serious drop. They were supposed to continue the path. They failed. A lot of people failed. There was success. The Prophet established the government there in Medina, and it expanded and went and covered a good part of the Arabian Peninsula during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet. These were serious victories for Islam. And the Prophet promised more victories for the Muslims. They experienced those. But is it over? No, it's not over. It's a process that we are going to be part of all the way until the end of our life. Even when the Imam comes, with the coming of the Imam, it's not over. Even with the establishment of the government of the Imam, it's not over. When the Imam comes, he's going to establish the government. He's removed all the obstacles for human prosperity. Does it mean that he's reached the height of what it can reach just because the obstacles were removed? Of course not. That's when you start building. That's still going to be difficult. There's a process. Not everyone's going to be continue to be with that. So all of us, until the last breath we take, we're going to be part of this. We want to make sure we are part of the movement of the Ahlul Bayt. Whatever the ups and downs are, we continue. This element of faith is very important. Recite salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes promises to the believers in this life and in the hereafter. Allah's promises are not only in the hereafter, there's promises for this world as well. We've repeated them, and it's important that we all believe in them. We all know that they are true. We don't know what the times are, when some of these promises, we are going to see them come true during our lifetime. Some of those promises perhaps we won't even see to the scale that are mentioned, that is mentioned in some of the verses of the Quran or the Ahadith. We see smaller portions of them. But those promises are there, they're related to this world. For example, one of those promises that's related to us is the coming of the 12th Imam and the removal of all injustice, all tyranny from the earth, and the establishment of the government of justice. Imagine that promise is given to whom? Who's been promised that there will be a just government covering the entire globe and all tyranny will be removed? In Islam, I won't go further back in previous revelations and religions. In Islam, the Prophet was promised that. In a number of verses, one of them is, I believe it's verse 24 of Surah Al-Fath. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messenger بالحق بالهدى والدين الحق, with guidance and the religion of truth, in order to make it prevail over all other religions, all other ideologies, all other deities, all other worships, worshipping anyone else, obedience to anyone else will be removed. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. Capitalism is a religion. It's not identified by some as a religion. It is a religion. It's a way of life that some people have. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. Liberal democracy. That's something other than Islam. Liberal democracy. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلَّهُ. When did this promise come? During the time of the Prophet, 1400 years ago. The promise is there. This will happen. Is it going to happen during the lifetime of the Prophet? No. Amir al-Mu'mineen? No. Imam Hassan? No. Imam Hussein? No. All the believers that lived during those times heard that promise and they asked the Imams. The Imam said, yes, this will happen. When exactly? So, well, it's going to happen. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. We're being told 400 years ago, believers were like, the coming of the Imam is near. The Ahadith tell us we should be expecting it. It's near. 400 years ago, people were like, all the people who lived 400 years ago are all gone. All the believers. They were promised that, weren't they? These promises are what motivate you to do work, aren't they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do these things, this is the result, you will get to this. Some of the promises are for the material realm, some of the promises of the material realm do not happen during your lifetime. But your work, if you do it right, will lead to that happening in the future. Whatever has happened over the course of the last 1400 years, the work of the Prophet, the previous Imams, is all working up to the establishment of the global government. The works of Imam Hassan have an impact, but you have to be motivated to be able to move in that direction. When you don't see certain things happening before you, then that causes you to lose motivation. That causes you not to be able to continue. It causes you to feel like, you know, should we do this? Why should we even do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, besides what happens in the material realm and the promises of good things happening to you, He will give you hasana in this world, He will give you this in this world, He will give you that and that in this world. All the different verses that are there, including the particular promise that we mentioned. And sometimes you work very hard, it says, we will clear up your environment in this world. Well, you know, it's still not cleared up. We still have a lot of evil around us, a lot of wrong that's happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to those promises of the material realm, emphasizes more on the promises of the hereafter, life after death. There's a lot more verses talking about what will happen to you if you do these good things on the moment of death onwards. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. The Mufassirin have said this is for those believers, the moment of death. Those who have perseverance, they continue and they do not give up. So when you say رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ, our Lord is God, God says these are my commands, do them. When you're doing them, it's very difficult, people are against you. It's a tough process. They keep going. You need perseverance. You keep going. The ones who continue that, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ, the ones who said, our Lord is God, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, then they practiced perseverance. They continued with that. They didn't give up in the face of hardship and difficulty. Opposition did not stop them. They continued saying that, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, angels descend upon them, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, no more fear, no more grief. It's over. The moment of death for a believer is the moment of relief. Whatever hardship they're going through, whatever it is, and even for the greatest believers, the prophets and the imams that understood it on such a high level, and we have mentioned this, that Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, his face would glow closer to the moment of death. Well, the moment of death is the moment where even whatever that material grief or fear or difficulty, to whatever minute degree, if it's there, that the Imam experiences, the difficulties, the pains of whatever, all of that is over. It is done. Plenty of promises. Recite a salawat, please. These promises are there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes them repeatedly. You know, sometimes we mention these promises just to get us to, I don't know, pray, to fast, to go for hajj, and these types of obligations, which is fine, is there as well. But the main reason why they're there, even with regards to prayers, if I get time, I'll explain that as well, why these are important, even in regards to prayers and hajj and ziyarat and so on and so forth. They are more important for those who are striving the more difficult tests and not only trying to fulfill the obligations that are personal, but are trying to fulfill obligations that are social, political. Just imagine, like one example that we just talked about, Sheikh Zakzaki, may Allah protect him and give him a long life. How many years has he been at it? in Nigeria. She's been working very hard for 20, 30, maybe 40 years. And he's got millions of people that are there, alhamdulillah, they're moving in that direction. Is it done yet? No. Nigeria has not experienced a revolution. It's not there yet. The Tawghut still has power there. And that's what they're doing. And the other Tawaghit come and help them. The Zionists, the Saudis are coming and helping the Tawghut that's there. Supporting them, tell them, go ahead, crack down on the people, kill them. We'll support you, international outcry. Don't worry about it. We won't cover it in our media. We'll give you political support. We'll give you financial support. We'll give you this, that, the other. Is it over? 40 years. You put into it and still, it really, if it wasn't, for something more and beyond this material realm, beyond making that happen during his lifetime. If there isn't anything, God had not promised, nothing is going to be there. If you work for it and you establish this, this is all you get. Moment of death, it's all over. It's gone. Everything is over. Oh, who would strive? Who would do this? And God has said this, if we don't pay attention to that, this is why some people discontinue on the path. They miss out on this promise. Let me give you another example. Another example, which is perhaps more relevant, hopefully, to us. Signs are telling us, inshallah, these are the times of the coming of the 12th Imam, inshallah. So the 12th Imam comes, he establishes the government. Then what? He removed all the tawhid. What are you going to do? We have experience. When the Prophet established the government in Medina, initially there were wars, there were battles. When they were able to overcome the different tribes in Arabia, when money started pouring in, what happened? What was the conversation in Saqifa? The people who had participated in wars with the Prophet, what was their conversation? Who's going to rule? You go through all of that, now you start thinking about the dunya, yourself. You got rid of other tawaghit, now you become a tawghut. And the surrounding, the people around them, that's, you know, like dogs, we have this, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, you know, there's a bone, all these dogs start fighting over it. The dunya is like that. When you forget about the akhirah, you forget about those promises, you forget about your actions and the effects of them in the afterlife, you were thinking of these promises coming true, alhamdulillah, we have this, we took over this, we defeated all the tribes and so on and so forth. Now the dunya starts coming in. In you. The struggle is not over. But you forget the afterlife, the promises. If you go this way, you're going to end up in hell. It doesn't matter how many battles you participated with the Prophet, how many times you put your life on the line for the Prophet. It's still not over. Remember the akhirah, remember the hereafter. That's at the time of the Prophet. Current day, the revolution happened. Overthrew the Shah, establish an Islamic government, 8 years of war. After that, Imam Khomeini passes away. What happens? Some of the people that were with Imam Khomeini and went through all of that now start. The movement is moving in the same direction. Some individuals, dunya came into them. People went through torture. We haven't been through torture. They scare us with torture. We're not able to go through it. We can't even imagine it. They boo us and we stop coming to centers. That's literally what they do. Post 9/11, they didn't really do anything to anyone. They just had all this stuff on the media and those big beards turn into clean shaven people. They didn't torture nobody in here, at least in this country. They went through torture, serious torture. Physical, psychological. Israelis trained. Recite a salawat, please. The Israelis had trained these people. They went through all kinds of torture. But now that they came to power, what happens? Some of these individuals, Muammam and otherwise, some fought 8 years in the battlefield, put their lives on the line. Afterwards, is it over? No. Forget the promises of the Akhirah. You start to drift away from the movement in whatever context a person is in. And one of the things that Imam al-Ridha, as preparation for the long-term wait, because prior to that, if you look at the ahadith, the imams were suggesting, and that requires its own discussion. I've mentioned the hadith before, where the establishment of the government according to the hadith was supposed to occur in the year 70, and then it was postponed to 140, and then it says it was postponed for a time that was not determined. No time limit was put to it. As Ayatollah Khamenei says, after that time frame, they worked towards it for a particular time wasn't put to it, but they were thinking and they were working towards something not too long term. Imam al-Ridha onwards, they start preparing people for the long-term wait of the establishment. And it's been 1,200 years since that time, approximately. Since Imam al-Ridha's time, around 1,200 years, give or take. Imam al-Ridha preparing people for that, stressing, one of the elements of that is this, stressing, reminding, and telling people to be reminded of the promises of the hereafter. You do your things. These are baby steps towards the establishment of the government. It will happen sometime in the future. But what you should be more aware of and thoughtful of and careful of is the hereafter. Don't ever forget that. That's what we need. Whatever happens here, the promises are, if you do right, we will give you good in this world. But the system is complicated. If some of the good that is given to us is a lot of difficulties. We've had ulama, Allama Tawatawai, may Allah bless his soul. Allah bless his soul. He went through extreme poverty when he was studying in Najaf. Then he went to back to his hometown, Azerbaijan. He had a lot of wealth. His father had a lot of wealth, a lot of land. He started cultivating it again. There was a lot of wealth. Then he left it all, went to Qum. Eventually, again, he went through extreme poverty towards the end of his life. I've mentioned this, I believe. Ayatollah Misbah said, once I came back from Tehran, and I got to the first roundabout of the city, Falakeh after Dutan, and I saw a person with a black turban sitting on the sidewalk. I looked, I realized, Allama Tabatabai, it didn't look nice, you know. I got really upset. I went to him and said, why are you sitting here? He very just looked up and very calmly said, I didn't have any money to pay for a cab to go home. He didn't have money to pay for a cab to go home. Allama Qadi Tabatabai, his teacher, again, extreme poverty. Well, what happened? God promised, I will give you in this world. What happened? It's a complicated system. If you don't see that coming, don't think that, oh, what you're doing is wrong. No, Allama Tabatabai, what he did was right, but he went through extreme poverty. Allama Qadi Tabatabai, extreme poverty, again. Allama Qadi Tabatabai didn't even see the revolution. Allama Tabatabai did the promises of the hereafter. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps those strong in our minds and in our hearts to motivate us to do more and more of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. And the last point I'll just briefly state, the more we start doing for the Akhirah, and Akhirah eventually starts meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, the more you start doing that, the more God puts you in a split in the road, in the path, choosing between the dunya and Akhirah. You keep having to give up more of the dunya. Be ready for that. Be prepared for that. Give up the dunya and accept the akhirah and want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him to grant us that. We ask Him to remind us whenever we start going off path in this very extremely material lifestyle that we are living in, society that is surrounded with materialism. We are surrounded 24/7 with materialism. The goals and objectives of people in society is so material to even think of anything non-material. Forget about considering it our objective. But to see anything non-material is very difficult. We ask Allah to save us, to increase the light of the Ahlul Bayt in our hearts by the rights of Imam al-Ridha, and to make us understand the great promises that He has given for the hereafter. And we ask Him to allow us to be of those individuals who believe them and who continue acting based on those. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to protect all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us our hajat, our needs, our requests, cure and heal all those who are suffering from illnesses, hardships, difficulties, relieve all those who are suffering from oppressions of the believers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Imam of our time to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.